Well, that recording climbing the charts this week, Ludovico Einaudi's Day 5 Ascent from his 7 Days Walking album series, releasing one a month. It's at the number 9 spot on the new Classical FM Top 20 chart. Here with the Oasis on the new Classical FM, my name is Mark Wigmore. Let's get to our daily look at arts and culture. There is a voice ubiquitous the world over, the supreme talent of soprano Misha Brugger-Gossman. Over the last several decades, Misha has thrilled audiences across the globe. The San Francisco Chronicle has said, quote, a singer of rare gifts and artistic intensity. She has given solo recitals at London's Wigmore Hall, Roy Thompson Hall here in Toronto, Carnegie Hall in New York, and the Kennedy Center. She is the winner of several major awards for vocal achievement and has received honorary doctorates from St. Thomas University of New Brunswick and Acadia University in Nova Scotia. Her first recording with Deutsche Grammophon, Surprise, was released in 2007 and garnered a Juno Award for Classical Album of the Year. In 2017, Misha's memoir, Something is Always on Fire, was released on HarperCollins and was a Globe and Mail bestseller. It was also around that time that she toured a concert experience that put a highlight on African-American spirituals. Earlier this year, Misha made her debut at the Barbican Center in London and returned to Carnegie Hall for a sold-out performance. She's also dealt with several well-publicized health issues, but she's back and will perform as part of the Bravo Niagara 2019-2020 season on October 19th in St. Catharines at the First Ontario Place Recital Hall. It's my pleasure to welcome back Misha Brugger-Gossman to the new Classical FM.
I'll have you know that's Claire de Lune, and I know it.
There we go.
I don't know who that is singing it, but I'll say it's me.
Great to see you. How are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. I can't believe it. I mean,
People don't know you went through a pretty major heart surgery.
Well, I went through a very major heart surgery on the 13th of June of this year, but people may also remember that 10 years and 3 days earlier, I had an aorta, my own aorta, that dissected. So that was my first ever open heart surgery, and I liked it so much, I went back for seconds.
There we go.
I'm so sorry. That's morbid. You get morbid when you almost die a couple times.
You know, somebody said to me recently, I think a difficult moment like what you've just experienced health-wise can make you a stronger performer.
Yes, and if your father is dying on the other side of the country while you're experiencing your first ever heart attack, that's like double your trouble. But I think that I serve a God that has been very faithful to me, and my faith has been incredibly important to me, and the only way that your faith can be deepened is for it to be tested, and I welcome it.
We think about the repertoire that you have to perform, and so much of it is about the skill, and you're thinking about, you know, just the words, the languages, and so on. But once you're at the level that you're at, I think you can draw from those big emotions and that big life experience and put it into the music.
That's a really great sort of question, because I think that your technique, and we're talking about technique, is meant to propel you forward into emotions that make you feel uncomfortable through a methodology that is honed over decades.
Yeah.
I mean, my voice continues to challenge me, but it also is a source of comfort because I know so much about it. It's my longest relationship. And sometimes we're not very happy, but other times we, you know, exist in perfect harmony. But any singer will tell you that those moments where it's all symbiotic and everything is firing on all cylinders are like very few and far between, so it can't be about that.
It's interesting, you talk about the voice, and that's very intimate, that's yours, but even people that go all the way back to the beginning, that can go either way, right?
Oh yeah, no, I think your work, or what you're passionate about, is an object lesson for where your treasure lies. And I have put a lot of effort into knowing this voice that's been entrusted to me, and I take it very seriously. And she, because she is a taciturn she, my voice, has been with me from the get and is my ride or die.
You played Carnegie Hall not too long ago, pretty exciting, in April. Is there baggage when you perform there? does it command a certain attention? Because just saying it, you know, gives me the jitters.
Is there a life coach that is on staff to get you through the throwing up? I mean, I would be throwing up whether it's Carnegie or, you know, Christchurch
Cathedral.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just a certain element of investment that comes with performing in front of people who might be experiencing you or the repertoire for the first time. So yes, of course, the stakes are higher at Carnegie, I'm not going to lie, and I do want it to be good. Nobody wants to play badly at Carnegie.
Right.
But I also don't want to play badly at the State Fair or the mall opening.
Yeah.
Like, you're truly, if you put your lock, stock, and smoking barrel into what you sound like and have made the mistake of intertwining your self-esteem with your work product, then it will matter more than it should. So I try and keep it in a context where I'm contributing, I'm in service, I'm doing the very best I can, whether it's raising my kids or serving the public through song.
It's interesting. I'm looking at what you're wearing. You look beautiful today, by the way.
And
you
know, are we starting a rumor? The answer is yes.
Gorgeous. Your hair looks gorgeous. But you're also wearing a dress that lets people know, like, hey, you've been through, there's a scar.
And he's talking about how much cleavage I'm showing.
That's not true. It's, you know,
it's bulging. It's positively, it's out of control. No.
You're owning it, is what I'm
have,
saying.
Like, a war wound, which is my, you know, sternum scar from my, not one, but let me tell you again, two open heart surgeries. I didn't hide it the first time, and I'm certainly not going to hide it this time.
No.
And I don't know why women ever would. I mean, I'm going to speak from the female perspective because that's the perspective about which I know the most.
Right.
But
I know what you're getting at.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, it's the area of mastectomies. It's the area of openness. It's the front of the sternum. It's very vulnerable. And it's a part of the body that we have centered a lot of desire around. And I know that it is, you know, currently looking like it's been interfered with. But I am also a symbol of how far cardiac surgery has come.
Yeah.
And
it feels very proud, and it feels very beautiful in its own way.
Right? I don't want to start a trend. This is kind of possibly the worst trend to start, but
don't want to do that.
I'm just saying, it looks good on me.
We're just a couple months away from this St. Catharines Bravo Niagara performance. What is the plan? This is your first appearance since dealing with this pretty serious time in your life. Does it feel like a comeback?
I mean, where did I go? I mean, I've been here. Nobody was like, you couldn't have doubted.
Right.
I mean, I serve a risen savior. I mean, I'm definitely not going to be taken out by something as benign as, you know, a heart attack. I mean, that being said, I have learned more about, you know, my own cardiac health, about responding to symptoms, about not ignoring your body, like all of those things that I have championed throughout my career. Every chance somebody gave me a platform to speak about health played itself out on June 12th in Calgary. You know, all of that stuff that I was always saying, you should not ignore your body. Like what they say on the plane, by putting your mask on before you help somebody else, make sure that you know about your own health. Well, turns out the rubber hit the road, and I really had to disrupt my entire life to save my own life.
Right.
And, I mean, it is exhausting to have so much come at you all at once, but better me than somebody who couldn't handle it.
So true.
Yeah, so true.
Are you looking forward to this Bravo Niagara performance?
I am.
Yeah.
Well, I love the recital. It's where I started.
Uh-huh.
I feel most at home with me and piano. I still
we have a lot of recordings here, just you and
exactly
piano.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like the most honest and intimate, and then you take that same intimacy to the larger forums of opera and orchestral performances, and then people wonder why they feel like you're just singing to them. And for me, that was born out of all of my recital work. And I keep the recital in the rotation for that reason, because it really, there is nowhere to hide. You know, either you're in tune or you're not. Either you're on time or you're not. Like, there's nowhere to hide in the recital. And I think that's why I respect the art form so much.
We're very much looking forward to it. Misha Brugger-Gossman, October 19th, 7:30 p.m. at the Recital Hall, First Ontario Performing Arts Center in St. Catharines. Tickets at bravoniagara.org. And we should play some music. We're running a little over time here.
Well, but, I do love the sound of my voice, Mr. Wigmore. So whatever you deem worthy.
Wonderful to see you. Let's listen. Here's Misha with something from Ronaldo Hahn on the New Classical FM.
Eustace.
Soprano Misha Brugger-Gossman in performance, and don't miss your chance to see her in St. Catharines, October 19th at First Ontario Recital Hall, bravoniagara.org for tickets and information. It's going to be a special night. I think I'm going to be there. So 27 degrees in Toronto, 23 in Cobourg, and 26 in Collingwood. I'll say it was great to spend a little time with Misha, and she's just doing the rounds now, speaking to everybody here at the station. Everybody's so happy to see